We got you something special to help you celebrate your recovery.
What is it?
Check it out.
What's that? Wait, isn't that a...
Keep your voice down, Captain. I'd like to say it's a present from all of us, but this is our greatest treasure. So once you watch it, we want it back.
Now, if Commander Starr should find it or confiscate it, or if you accidentally erase it, then...
Yeah, then what?
Just don't let anything happen to it.
Roger.
Welcome to Tuning Japanese, a podcast where three dudes in their 40s talk about anime. He's the star of the show tonight. He's Andy.
I'm the star?
Yeah, it's your episode.
Yeah, you gotta be on.
Oh no, not after this week.
Hey, there's smoke coming out of that thing. He's Bill.
I had cabbage for lunch.
Well, that was because you're part robot.
That's the other half of it.
Oh, interesting. And I was a very innocent 16-year-old girl. I'm Matt.
In many ways, you still are.
I stayed innocent for a long time, let me tell you.
And then he met our podcast. Hey, guys.
Then he joined this shit.
Never looking back. Never looking back.
How we doing, gentlemen?
I got my cold beer of root variety.
I got really excited for a half a second. I don't know why. I don't know why. I was like, what? Excited is not even the right word. More like, yeah. I'm more like aghast. Like, I do declare.
I can go for an eclair.
me too.
Bill, what do you got?
I got a transparent skeleton action figure.
I mean.
Cool.
I made a demon out of.
That'll quench your thirst. No, don't eat the skeleton.
Warning, contains plastic parts.
This skeleton's a little dry.
Oh, my Lord. Hey, welcome once again to another episode of Tuning Japanese. I am excited this week because we are talking about a brand new episode of The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. I hope you enjoyed, fans, the dive into our Tuning In episodes. We released Tuning In episode 6, one of my favorite animes, Sergeant Frog. Love that conversation. That was from, you know, a little while back. We pulled that from the archives to provide it for you. But we are back this week.
It's for yous. As I'm sorry's for fucking off and not having an episode.
My fault, ladies and gentlemen. I had a Whose Line Is It Anyway live show that I went to.
Yeah, how was that overall, Matt? I know you told us in chat, but tell the fans how that went.
Why, that went very well. I only wish I was a little closer to the stage. Like in the first or second row. Then I could have offered suggestions for scenes from a hat and whatnot.
Was that, is it just a random group of people, or was it actually like some of the people from the show?
Yeah. Ryan is there.
Oh, nice.
Ryan Stiles, Andrew's dad.
Right. You know, I see it. I can see it.
Mm-hmm. He's my long lost father.
That's your real dad.
I wish.
Bill Murray's youngest brother, Joel, was one of them.
Oh, that's cool.
I saw him in something the other day.
Was Wayne Brady there?
Nope.
Oh, sadness. Colin Mockery?
No Colin either.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, I found out they've been doing the live show for a couple of years now, but Colin has never been a part of it, I don't think.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I guess he probably, you know, wants to keep his engagements light.
Yeah, well, I know he's been working on some movie.
Oh, okay.
Called Villains or something.
Cool.
Oh, it was Bob Hart's Abishola. That's what Joel Murray was in. He plays the main character's dead dad's ghost.
Jeff Davis was the other one who was there.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, he was on the American Whose Line a few times.
Very cool. I'm glad you got to do that, even if it means we didn't record. I'm fine with that, because as I talked about off camera, I'm going to have a couple weeks here where we're going to have to reschedule some stuff. So, but this week, no, we are talking about episode 20 of The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. It is well handled.
The anime is as old as Tyler is now.
With that, it's time to go into everyone's favorite segment. If anyone has anything, it's called Nerd News. Do either of you have anything for Nerd News this week?
I have a small correction from last week.
Okay, lay it on us.
Well,
after seeing the trailer for The Crow, I'm not as angry and not as upset and not as scared. It probably won't be the cult classic the original was, but I don't think it's going to be terrible.
No, probably not.
It's very 2020s action movie. Like, it looks like a gritty John Wick kind of...
John Wick with a tattoo addiction.
Right.
It is violent. The trailer is extremely violent. So,
much more violent than the original movie.
Yeah, there's a couple shots. Like, there one in particular that got me was when he shot the dude in the head, like, point blank with a shotgun, and it's just like a massive, just like, bucket of blood, just like...
Or the one where he puts the gun to his own chest and shoots the guy that stabbed him from behind.
Yeah,
right. Through his own chest.
I'm pretty sure I saw him throw a couple of severed heads into the audience at an opera or something. Yeah, he does.
So this could be a lot of fun, actually.
I'm feeling way better about it.
Nice. What a turnaround for you, Bill.
I mean, it might still be hot garbage. It might still be totally forgettable, but...
We do not condone real-life violence as a form of entertainment. Unless it's funny.
Well, that's Bill's nerd news. Matt, you got anything this week?
The well-known... early internet content company Rooster Teeth is officially being shut down by Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They do plan to continue with a 10th season of Ruby, and of course the final season of Red vs. Blue is also coming, and I believe they've got more Camp Camp on the way as well. That's the big nerd news, but as of today, we also saw I'm not sure how confirmed it is, but apparently Hello from the Magic Tavern's getting an animated series.
Yay! I'm excited about that. I love Magic Tavern.
I noticed I said animated series.
You did say animated series. I have nothing for nerd news this week. I'm ready just to get into the episode. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
It's your episode. Go for it.
Sweet. We open with the Ralgon Empire, and they are up in arms because their princess has been taken by the United Planet Space Force.
I mean, they're not that up in arms.
Well, they're up in turbans. There's a lot of turbans in this crowd. Did you guys notice that?
Yes.
Arabian elves like the Arabian.
I have a lot of questions on that, and it makes me a little uneasy, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
This entire war is over space oil.
Yeah, that's kind of where my brain was going. I was like, is this some sort of analog war?
No, they're all white. They're all white elves wearing turbans, so they're like spiritualists and shit.
It's anime. It's early anime. Like, there were no people of color in early anime.
I think that's just because they spend a lot of time indoors in space.
Where the sun don't shine.
If you spend out time outdoors in space, those elves don't make it.
Well,
unless they're randomly picked up by certain spaceships.
Wang has taken over, apparently. He's just decided that with the Empress gone, he is in control.
Next in line, baby.
Well, he is the prime minister.
Yes. He does seem to be overstepping, at least in the eyes of some of the people.
Yeah, like Lonar is just like, hey, you can't do this.
That's his name. I couldn't remember his name. Lonar. Also, Dom doesn't seem to be down with this.
He's
more worried about how the Empire could be torn in two.
I remembered today that the Japanese VA for Dom, same as Legato Blue Summers in Trigun.
That's cool. I would not have pegged that.
He plays sexy men.
He do.
With
sexy men with weird relationships with the hero.
Yes.
An accurate statement. Anyway, he wishes that, or at least silently hopes that Tyler keeps Azaline safe.
Safe.
Speaking of, we cut to a celebration on the Soyokaze. Everyone is getting crunk!
And Tyler is chugging a plate of liquor.
Have we ever said it before? The Japanese have weird cups.
They do. Cryburn, I believe, makes the statement, "You're the star of the show tonight." And I think he finally figured out that he's on a television show called The Irresponsible Captain Tyler.
Oh, no.
He's got fifth dimensional awareness like Rick Sanchez.
Yes, like that. Yes. I've noticed that in this, especially this episode and more in like this scene in particular, but definitely throughout this whole episode, this is definitely a cost-saving episode. There are a lot of stills, a lot of like everyone is like stationary in the background while one character is like moving just their mouth to save on animation. It's definitely, you can tell after the last couple episodes where you had like the really pretty backgrounds and like a little bit more, in some cases, more actiony stuff, that they're like, take it easy this episode. Make things as simple as possible. And they are absolutely doing that.
Everybody yep. chill the fuck out for a little bit.
So it is like the least animated party I've seen in an anime in a while. So Anderson offers Tyler a little bit of a celebratory prize, a.k.a. a wank video.
Wank?
So apparently this is the only porno tape.
It's totally contraband.
It's either the only one or it's their absolute favorite of the ones they have.
It's hiding in a coat jacket sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they say, if Yuriko gets hold of this or you accidentally erase it, hint, hint, we will, and then they all pull guns on him.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of the way, like, I know we've talked about it on here before, but the way I stole Josh's hentai and sold it to that kid from Rock Island.
Yes.
I was like,
here you go.
I don't blame the Marines one bit. After all, it's Betamax.
I thought that too.
That'd be worth a freaking lot in the year 7,000.
That's probably
where this
true.
Takes place.
Well, Tyler nervously thanks them for caring so much, which is a great line.
Anderson has a huge freaking hand. He could crush Tyler's head with one hand.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, how big is that dude's dick? Like,
wait, Jesus Christ. That's not the same thing.
Like, man.
I'm up here and you're literally down there.
I got really excited for a minute. So anyway.
It's shoe size, not glove size.
I've heard both. They actually do kind of correlate.
I still got very excited. Okay. I got very excited. Anyway, as
did you say I got very excited, gay? That's what I heard.
Anyway, Azaline freaks out that they're gonna harm her beloved pet. Leave Paco Paco alone. And I love how they all just start laughing at her because of the nickname Paco Paco.
Yeah.
Well, also that she like commanded them to do something.
That is probably part of it too. Tyler casually brings up how Yamamoto wanted to follow orders and basically like, should we do what you wanted to do and treat her really well like we do all prisoners? Mm-hmm. Tyler, for some reason, says it's Azaline's call. He's like, well, it's your call, Azaline. Do you want to be treated well? And I'm like, what? Why is it her call? She's the prisoner.
If it was anybody else saying it, I could say that it was a threat.
But it's not.
What's your call? How do you want this easy way or the hard way?
Not Tyler.
Exactly. Anybody else, I would have taken it that way.
Well, you know, he's putting the importance of the decision in her hands. The absolute place where it would never be under normal circumstances.
Right. It's kind of weird, but... Well, they pan around the room full of soldiers here. They're all just staring at her. And then she finally agrees, saying, there's something very special about this crew, to which Tyler agrees... Talks about how Yamamoto even understands it now.
Yes, 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 yes. What does Tyler mean by this statement?
I read it as he sees his crew as good, hardworking people, that he sees the positive in everything that they've accomplished. I just see him like kind of being a good captain here.
They're his family and he loves them.
Yeah. Yeah, crew is family. I like that.
This is a ship about love.
This is the love ship, if you will. The love boat.
Oh, ship.
The love ship.
The Empress is like, there's something in here that's missing on the Melva. And Tyler's like, it didn't take you long to spot what's good about this ship. Some people who've been here a long time still don't see it.
My dick.
Then he calls out Yamamoto about it.
Well, Yamamoto's a traditionalist. This episode, one of the things that this episode hinges on, aside from Tyler trying to masturbate, is being angry.
I'm going to point out there are no indications whatsoever that he is attempting to do that.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But like to my original point, we'll get to that. I promise we'll get to that in the conversation. Let's hold that conversation for a second.
Grip it.
But like, both hands.
With both hands, right?
Tug it.
Edge. Well, just hold on to the edge.
Of just don't do the Indian real burn.
No, don't do that one. That one's terrible. That's a snake bite. Don't do that one. No, but the idea of the conversation between Yamamoto and Yuriko throughout this, which I think is kind of like what a lot of this hinges on, of like, what do we do with Azaleen? And, you know, like, do we follow protocol or do we break protocol? So I think like this has a lot to do, at least in my estimation, it has a lot to do with, do you follow the orders put upon you by command and it was expected in war, or do you forge your own sort of decisions and break away from that?
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
I'm confused why they're going back to the fleet at all. Because, like, last time we saw them, they were shooting at them. So why do they think now is okay to go back?
They have something to trade?
Yeah, I think some dialogue later means that we were meant to infer that they know about it back home, that they've got Azaleen.
It's possible they sent transmission.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Azaleen, we cut to her chambers where Yamamoto, oh, I guess first, like, I'll mention, like, Yuriko has a moment of, like, sad or shocked face, and that's going to get to that inner conflict we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah, it's a thinking face, definitely.
Yes. Well, Azaleen is checked on by Yamamoto in her chambers. He's just checking to make sure she's in there, letting her know that she's going to be locked up, but she'll be safe. But then he realizes that she's sleeping, so he quickly sees himself out, but it turns out, no, it's that big bald statue, not B-A-L-D, but B-A-L-L-E-D statue laying in the bed. Pretending
tanuki.
To be. Yeah, the tanuki.
Not big bald like me, but big bald like me.
Yeah. That's a fantastic joke.
All right, Bill, I want to see it. I want to see you fan those things out and glide with them. Come on.
Actually, if you could do that, I'd want to watch that too.
It's called the Batwing.
Oh no. And never mind. Anyway. So God damn it. So it's wank time, guys. Tyler, by the way, Tyler hates the fact that he's given this porno, by the way. He makes that very clear. He's like, God, I wish they wouldn't have given me this thing. But he goes into his room where Azaleen is hiding.
Yes.
She's
behind,
like,
his bed.
She's like, I can't wait to, like, sneak up on him and, you know, blah blah blah. So he drops down the porno. He gets, like, gets comfortable, and he's like, I'm not going to watch this. But then he looks at it, and he's like, well, I guess. His instincts kick in.
I suppose there could be something to be said that he didn't want to be rude. Like, if you just gave it back to him, like, what'd you think? And he's like, I didn't watch it. They'd be offended.
I think he's a man, and he's like, well, I guess if I have it, let's watch it.
Yeah.
I guess it's better than all the Marines sitting around together watching it.
That's true. Well, anyway.
But visual, the audience can't see. No man is watching a porno like this.
He wants to see if it's worth getting out the lube and the Kleenexes, you know?
Tissues!
Oh, good Lord. Well, anyway, he decides he's going to watch it, and Azaleen decides she's going to sneak up and spook him. She does the little creepy thing.
It seemed like we're going to get like an American Pie moment.
Right. But that's interrupted when there's a knock on the door. Have we talked about the wooden signs and the knocking?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't think we talked about it.
That's a Japanese thing? Is that a common Japanese thing?
I don't.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
Okay. I didn't know if you knew, Matt, because I know you you being our Japan expert, our anime expert of the show.
I think Tyler just wanted something akin to a doorbell, which these rooms don't seem to have.
Well, apparently it gets knocked on, which freaks him out because he's like, oh my God, someone's at my door and they're going to walk in and see me watching porn.
Prawn!
My dick's out.
So he's, by the way, fans, his dick is not out. He like jumps forward and then like,
we don't know that.
Hits the Betamax machine, and it causes it to short out. And the record button gets jammed.
Yep.
And he realizes, right in the screen, pans to a woman, like, you get ready to see her boobs, and then it starts, like, recording over it, and he's like, oh my god, I'm gonna get turned into Swiss cheese. They're going to murder me. Stop, 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 stop. But he's interrupted because then Emmy and Yumi show up and walk in. They're the ones knocking.
They're the ones that knocked on the door.
Yes, and Azaleen has to hide, so she goes right back behind the bed. I don't know what to say about this next series of things, aside from it's funny, but what? So, okay, apparently the way to a woman's heart is nearly dying.
Right.
Because.
Nearly dying Bill, for some.
That checks out.
I think. Nearly dying for someone else, I think, more specifically.
Yeah. Well, so Emmy and Yumi show up, and they, again, we're saving animation because we replay the same little, like, nudge, nudge animation at least 10 times. And this they're all true. Just like, I can't say it. No, you didn't say it. I'm too nervous. No, this is so embarrassing. And Tyler's like, what?
Now, this goes back to something we didn't really talk about during the party scene, but a lot of the female members of the crew are talking to each other about how they underestimated Tyler, and they think, what does he say about him?
I don't remember, but they're definitely like talking about how great of a captain he is.
So Tyler risking his life to protect Azaleen has somehow gotten the women to think that he's different kind of person than they ever thought he was.
And they all act on it in ridiculous ways.
Yes.
They're overcompensating.
Yeah. So Emmy and Yumi are like, we really like look up to you and appreciate you. And will you be our lover? What?
Torn between two lovers.
There's really no tearing.
Who are six. Never mind. Forget it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, let's
a lot of that going on.
Yeah, a lot of that going on. Well, to Tyler's credit, he's so preoccupied with the porno tape and his impending death that he doesn't even really listen to them.
Yeah, what he says just happens to tell them to go away.
Yes, and they're like, oh, well, we didn't realize. We're sorry, and essentially apologize their way out. They're not offended. They're just like, we'll just keep this where we're at now, which is this friendship, and we appreciate you.
It makes sense they do things as a pair, though.
Yeah.
Even fuck as a pair?
They've each got one handlebar.
Oh, no, Bill!
Oh,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
God, that's bad.
You walked right into it, too.
Fuck.
I'm going to tell you, I probably think a little too much about these scenes that are coming up, because I'm always kind of thinking how much of it is Tyler being preoccupied and how much is it him actually thinking.
How much is it? Yeah.
About how much attention he wants to pay them, or whether or not
is he playing dumb or is he dumb?
Yeah.
Is he vashing it?
Yeah.
Is he playing a vash where it's like he gets the women back to his room, but then he pretends to pass out on the bed.
Right.
And then wake up immediately and go, oh, what am I doing? They leave. Azaleen is like, oh, so he's into more mature women. I will take note of this.
Yeah.
I will be mature.
I wish she had like a little pad and paper and pencil or something.
That would be a nice touch. Well, Yuriko is cleaning up and Yamamoto comes in and is like, hey, let me help you. And they chat a bit about, you know, life as a soldier. And she asks this question of, hey, what did you think about when you were 16? And Yamamoto's like, what did I think about when I was 16? And he's so confounded that he stumbles right with us into the break card.
What?
Welcome on into the break card. It's Andy. You're listening to Tuning Japanese, and we are rapidly approaching the end of The Irresponsible Captain Tyler. We're on our way towards season 10, which is wild. We're back to me for season 10, by the way, and in the next couple of months when we do our big reveal for what we're going to do for that season, I'm very excited because I know what my pick is going to be, and season 10 is going to be, it's a big number, it's a round number, and it's going to be a huge season for us. Super excited for that. While we wait for that, I hope you are enjoying season 9. Apologies for last week, because our first week, actually, we missed in all of 2024. I know that 2023 was a bit rough, and we missed quite a bit of time. There's a big span where we didn't release any episodes, and I wanted to make 2024 a better year, And as of right now, the fact that we made it all the way through almost the end of March with before we missed an episode, that's pretty big. But apologies. So I do want to apologize for the miss of the content. We've got some more stuff recorded and ready to go. We're going to be releasing, obviously, this episode, which you're listening to right now. We're going to be releasing an episode of Tuning In before this month is up on our Patreon, where we watched and reviewed Durarara. So we'll have that ready for you, as well as more of these reviews and our wrap-up here soon before the end of the next couple of months. So be on the lookout for all that, and hopefully you're enjoying this content. Speaking of Durarara and our Tuning In episodes, if you want to head to patreon.com/tuningjapanese, you can get all of our bonus content, including those Tuning In episodes. We are slowly releasing every once in a while something from the vault, but we're loving recording some of those. We might be doing some restructuring of our Patreon a little bit, probably closer to the summer, but you can go and support us in a monetary way. We would really appreciate that. It's expensive to do a podcast, and we don't do ads, so that way you can just get through your episode. If you want to help donate and help us make this a better show, we'd really appreciate it. With that, I think it's time we get back into the Irresponsible Captain Tyler. Hope you're enjoying this review, and we'll see you on the other side.
And Andy, what did you think about when you were 16?
A lot of things. We're back for the break card. Speaking of things I thought about when I was 16, we're back to wank time again. Tyler is panicking.
And how does that write to your mother?
When I was
a young warthog.
When I was a young warthog. No. No, never mind. Forget it. I had the date wrong. I had the date wrong, so it's not going to work. I can't say it.
All right. Well, Tyler is panicking.
For me, it was titties.
Tyler's panicking.
I think mostly around that time, I was thinking, I want to watch this cartoon, but I can't let people know that I want to watch this cartoon because I'm too old for cartoons.
That's a fair assessment. Tyler is still panicking. And all the while, now Lieutenant Kim is in his room, like laying on his bed, trying to be all sexy, being all like, hey, you know, I used to never like you. Essentially is what she says. She's like, I never found anything like really good about you. But now I'm opening my legs for you right here. Take me. And once again, he's just kind of like, no, like, and he's like freaking out about the tape. And then she gets mad. She's like, but I want to live with a man like you forever. And he still ignores her. And
who will make me feel like that everything isn't so work serious.
Yes, that was her thing. Yes.
Yeah, he made her think she doesn't have to try so hard or worry so much.
But then he doesn't pay any attention to her, so then she gets really pissed. And then he electrocutes himself, and she leaves all angrily.
He should have taken her up on that. I bet she is a freak.
Oh, I bet she is. She looks like she would be a freak.
She's got anxiety and anger issues? Sign me up.
Unfortunately, black leather is against the regs.
We had a whole episode on some of that kind of stuff. Well, Azaleen is taking more notes mentally, and she's like,
yeah.
She's just like, this is very interesting. I'm learning so much about Tyler.
Yeah, the whole discussion talk between Yuriko and Yamamoto about being 16 was just sort of really about what Azaleen, who is 16, is probably thinking.
Yes, and that's what we cut to next, is that conversation where they're actually being a little more open about it, because they talk about I think Yuriko asks the questions of like, what do we think we should do with the Empress? To which Yamamoto's like, well, we'll follow the code. We'll take her into the Federation. And then she's like, but is that the best thing to do? And then they think for a while, and he's kind of like, maybe not. Yuriko says that it is the right answer to give, but she fears that Azaleen is just a young girl, and using her in war would be unjust.
Not even fears it. She says she is a innocent young girl.
No, it is not right to put a child through that.
So social commentary on war again?
Yeah.
The innocents that come to harm, even if those innocents are part of the ruling elite.
And the general power structure of, you know, what they expect their soldiers to do, and regardless of the morality of the actual act.
Right.
It's ethics versus morality. It's lawful versus lawful and chaos and good and evil.
I love that.
complicated feelings.
Yes. Speaking of complicated feelings, it's wank time again.
What?
this time, however, he still can't stop this tape because now it's Harumi's turn to try to fuck Tyler. She is like the most intense. Like she has it backed against a wall
and is
begging him, like, tell me what a human woman would do.
I mean, he shattered her robot, her programming, and give her a soul through love.
And now she wants to shatter him in a different way.
I don't even have lubricators installed there.
Oh, no.
Time for snoo-snoo, Tyler?
No, Tyler's begging her off. Like stop. Like he's being very
clear. I mean, he'll end up with a crushed pelvis if she
does. He says, they have no time.
Yay.
To which she interprets this as, of course we have no time. This is war. What am I thinking? We have to deal with the war before we fuck. And then she, like, just leaves.
Taking it down to the base. Fuck no. Love,
that's exactly
sir.
What happens.
She is not, it is not lust what drives her. It has the pure feeling of love.
I think down to the base also might mean something else.
I mean, she's definitely reacting. I just got it. Lust is a part of that, considering how badly she's got him pressed up against that wall.
Yeah, she...
That's just because she has... these emotions are strong, and she's never felt them before, and she's overcompensating.
She wants to bone.
No!
Yes!
God damn it. Why is everybody so sex-oriented?
Bill, she want a bone.
She does.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, I'm not even arguing that one. She's... She's going to snap it off.
I mean, does she have an appropriate port for him to plug into?
Oh, my God.
Maybe he gave her one of those two when he seduced her.
I just think of Red Dwarf. That's where my brain goes.
The groital socket?
The groital socket.
I just had a horrible image in my head of her Harumi and R2-D2 with his little thing.
Oh, no. No, R2-D2. I always see R2-D2 as a child. Like, don't say that. I don't know if I'm supposed to, but I always think of R2-D2 as a little child.
Okay.
Definitely. Not R2
not the biggest
is
the creepy
old
here,
man
but...
who's been watching his neighbors for 50 years.
I mean, he swears up a storm, right?
Right. It's true. Yeah.
Kids these days.
I think Tyler and Harumi are actually in the bathroom because I think the shower comes on.
No, never mind. I'm thinking of Evangelion. Never mind. I was like, isn't what? There a... I got that in Evangelion mixed up because there's like the communal bathroom in Evangelion. Oh. But I was
this
like,
is a much better wank-off episode than Evangelion's.
Oh, no. We went there. Oh, God. That makes me not want to rewatch Evangelion. All right. So Azaleen is like watching this again still, of course. And she's like, wow, he's really popular. I should go profess my love now.
If she only knew he wasn't this popular last week.
No. Tyler realizes that all he needs is like, cause he looks at the thing and he's like, fuck, it's been like an hour. This tape is basically over. So he's
unplugged?
Like, I just have to
why
find...
didn't you want?
Yes. Unplug the damn thing. That's where my brain went to. But he's like, remote control. That's the answer. So he searches around for the remote, and instead of finding the remote under the couch, he does find it, but he does also find under the bed or behind the bed, Azaleen. And this is when Yuriko comes knocking. And I love, this is my favorite bit of the whole episode, because like he opens the door and they have a bit of a conversation, and he makes a comment like, oh, at least you don't want me either. Like, you don't want me like that either, or something like that. And she's like, what? He's like, nothing. Don't worry about it.
Nothing.
I love that bit. It was a really good bit. She's there because she wants to talk about Azaleen, not knowing that Azaleen is in the room. And basically he's like, so what are we going to do when we rejoin the fleet? And, you know, what's the plan? And he counters by saying, well, what would you do, Yuriko? Which I love and hate, because I hate when people deflect like that. That's like some psychological bullshit. But like, but also I like it because it shows that he has trust in her.
Also has no idea what he's doing.
Also that.
He might also be thinking of her personal growth as a commander of others.
That's also a possibility.
Making her think strongly about this very important decision.
Well, she's uncertain, and Tyler agrees with that.
So you got to think, if he had died, would she have done with Azaline?
Well, I think she would have been angry about him dying and would have taken revenge.
I don't think so. I think she probably would be a lot less happy, but probably still doing the same thing where she's going, it's still an innocent 16-year-old girl. We should probably not go execute her.
Maybe.
That also brings into question, would she have thought this be if she'd never met Tyler? Or did Tyler have some influence over her in this area?
That's also a good question. And the other question would be, would it matter because Yamamoto would be in control?
For a bit, I think Yuriko would have quickly usurped him as captain pretty quickly.
Maybe found a way. But
they tapped him to be the first mate.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was on anybody's bucket list to be actual captain of a ship.
No, I'm just saying she's still more competent than he is.
Well, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I think he was off on his own, like on an apartment building hanging out because they didn't want to give him a ship.
Yeah, he was on vacation when we first saw him.
Was he though?
Yeah. Was he? Yes. Maybe.
Well, he decides, the one thing he does know is that, and he says this very emphatically, he says, we're not handing her over. Yes. I love that moment too. I like that. He's very sure about that one thing, is that we care about, I think, oh, okay. I was like, Matt's really smiling at that, but then it was because his camera was frozen. I was like, he's really into my comment here. I was like, it got to a point where it was really eerie, but then his camera came back.
That's camera.
Camera. Camera is fun to children.
Oh my god. Well, anyway, she's relieved by this, by the way, by his statement. Yeah, even she's still relieved when she's like, do you have a plan? And he's like, nope.
No fucking clue.
This is when Tyler comes to realize, like, fuck, I need to make a last-ditch effort to save this tape. And that's when he grabs a baseball bat.
Woo!
And swings for the fences.
As you do.
And it destroys things, but...
You let out the factory-installed smoke.
So in the end, Tyler did hit that VCR.
Yep.
Ten points to Matt there. We cut back to Yamamoto, and he's just distressed. He's all over the place about what would be the right thing to do, which probably he wouldn't even be thinking about if it wasn't for Yuriko bringing it into his head.
Mm-hmm.
He just would have followed potentially blindly.
Yeah. Which wouldn't have happened if Tyler hadn't saved the Empress.
Yes.
Which caused her to come on board in the first place.
Speaking of coming, we go back one more time to Tyler in his wank time. I'm kidding.
Oh, my.
No, he's all alone now. Azaline is like, okay, it's time. I'm going to profess my love. But at this point, Tyler takes a little bit of a nap. He's had a long day.
Been stressful.
Yes. So she almost kicks him awake, but then stops.
She really hauls back for a good one, too.
Oh, it's going to be a great kick. But then she's like, no, I shouldn't do that. We go to the United Space Force, and Mifune's like, what are we going to do for the Soyokaze for their discretions? And the rest are like, we're going to let it slide, and we're going to take this princess, and then we're going to go win this fucking war.
Yeah.
UPSF, fuck yeah!
Even Fuji's like, well... Guess we can't get our revenge on Tyler anymore, can we?
Never going to be able to kill that guy.
Which is the intelligent move.
It is.
This is the time when you think that they've got to be thinking, maybe it's better to have Tyler around, judging from everything that's happened so far.
Oh, for sure.
At this point, if I were them at this point, I would thoroughly give up on attempting to get Tyler out of the way.
Yeah, keep him close. Pull him back in with the fleet where they can at least keep a watch on him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, their plan is to meet up and launch an attack on the Ralgons. We cut to sleepy Tyler. Tyler is sleepy time, and Azaline very cutely cuddles up next to him, and that's the end of the episode.
That was kind of cute.
It was cute.
Yeah, it's like the entire ship settles down for the night or something. Because that's kind of a drawn out musical bit. You see the light on the bridge go off, and then it just slowly fades.
It's a nice image. It's a nice image.
Yeah.
Which apparently is going to lead to our next episode titled Paco Paco Jr., but more on that in a bit. But first, this is the part of the show where we talk about our thoughts on the episode. It's my episode, so I go first. I liked it. I liked this episode. It was weird. It was very much a filler episode in some ways. it also had some important plot moments with regards to like the philosophical discussion of what to do about Azaleen. It's definitely setting the stage for a larger potential conflict between both sides and figuring out what is Tyler and the Soyokaze's role within that larger scale conflict. The porn bit was a little crass, but funny. I liked it. I thought it was really good. Yeah. I mean, I have no complaints about this particular episode. I thought it was a good episode.
I tend to agree. It was right on the edge of becoming like cringy anime stuff, but it never actually got there to the strength of the main character, probably.
Imagine a harem series where the main character is more like Tyler.
That, yeah.
And all these girls are hitting on me just like, I'm busy, go away.
Yeah.
It's very tense. I mean, just like most harems, right, shows. I mean, very tenchy. Very kind of a tenchy episode.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Quite good episode. Always been one I enjoy watching. And it really shows how the crew has turned around on Tyler. At least until they come out of their Tyler's a hero stupor.
Yeah.
And he starts annoying them again. Because they still don't really understand him.
They all missed him from being gone for a while.
Yeah.
They'll remember.
That's that episode. Next up, it's episode 21. We're really getting close to the end here of this anime. It is Paco Paco Jr., and it is a Bill episode.
Cool.
Bill, 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 Bill.
That's next time. But for now, it's time for us to go. Matt, will you take us home?
This has been Tuning Japanese, the podcast where three dudes in their 40s talk about anime. I was a very innocent 16-year-old girl. I'm Matt.
I am the star of tonight's show. I'm Andy.
This thing's smoking.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Bill.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We will see you next time before Bill's house catches on fire.
Smoke show kisses.
You shouldn't joke about that because my neighbor's house did burn down.
Thanks for listening to Tuning Japanese. For more information on our show, visit tuningjapanese.com, where you can find links to our past 8 seasons of the show, bonus episodes, and articles. You can also contact us on social media. Visit facebook.com/tuningjapanese for updates, tweet at us at tuningjapanese, and email us your feedback and comments at tuningjapanese@gmail.com. Please consider supporting our show by leaving a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to today's episode. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, or any other number of podcatchers. You can also go to patreon.com/tuningjapanese and support the show monetarily. There you can find bonus episodes and our special audio series, Tuning In, where we provide first impressions on a number of popular anime series. Special thanks to our Patreon supporters, Ryan Nash and Matthew Van Diver.
A love that can lead nowhere, but I don't know what to do with these burning feelings.
Maybe you just had a little too much to drink, Harumi. I think you should try to calm down.
I can't calm down. I've never had feelings like this before. What would a human woman do? What should I do? Please, Captain Tyler, tell me. How do I know for sure it's love? How do I be a real woman? Tell me, Captain Tyler.
Hold on, Harumi. Please, we don't have time for this.
What? We don't have time for this? That's right. You're right. We don't have time for this. Please forgive me, Captain. We are fighting a war. Now isn't the time to be thinking of such things. Good night, Captain Tyler. Please excuse me.
Right.
Paco Paco, even directly stating love to you doesn't work either. And he's so popular with all the women on board. But hiding here allows me to see how Paco Paco really feels. All I must do now is take courage and confess my love!